Shalom Aleichem, we are in Chodesh Halavos, Shalom Beis, Ois Yud Dalet. Shari Tshuva is alerting us to the fifth signal, the fifth sign that we should use as a call to tshuva, to improvement, to moving our lives to the higher level. And we've seen that that is the Yom Ha'Nevuah, the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. Okay, so we discussed how he says you have to live with the reality that you are going to be put under the microscope and be preparing for that. We're preparing to launder whatever could be laundered, to improve whatever could be improved. And he says that, therefore, a person must take time out from his regular schedule, from his work, for introspection, improvement, tefillah, to be davening to Hashem. This is the essence of what the slichas are. The slichas weren't instituted by Chazal. What are the slichas in etzem? The slichas, in effect, in essence, they are us coming of our own accord to put in extra tefillah to Hashem. It's really what the slichas are, except that it was instituted by our older brothers, right? The Ga'anim, the Rishonim. But this wasn't the chiyuv instituted by Chazal. This is our older brothers in the form of the Ga'anim and the Rishonim coming in, telling us, this is what anybody normal should be doing right now. That's basically what's going on with this slichas. This is what anybody normal should be doing right now. Anybody who can just afford to sit back and roll into Rosh Hashanah is not in tune with what's going on. Now, and it's a time of favor, as we've discussed. This is a time when Hashem is open to hearing our tefillas. Like the pasuk says, at a time of favor, I will answer you. And in a day of salvation, I will be there to aid you. And we, as we keep stressing, this whole system of Yom Adin is really Hashem there just telling us, I want to remind you, life is a relatively brief opportunity. It can pass us by very quickly, right? We know that. We know how a busy life we can just roll through weeks, months, and even years fleetingly. So Hashem says, I'm sticking a Yom Adin every so often to remind you, I'm here with outstretched arms in order to help you keep focused and to help you every so often take stock, make yourself presentable to me. And this is what this is all about. Va'amul Chazal, Chazal said, Dirsha Hashem b'imotzoi. It says, seek out Hashem when he is close, when he's around. When is Hashem close by? Elo asayim shebein Rosh Hashanah liyom kippur. Those are the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, which Chazal tell us that every person's individual tefillahs have the power of a tefillah of a tzibur. And even more specifically, we have an actual chiyuv, a positive mitzvah saseh from the Torah, for a person to inspire himself, lachzor b'tshuva b'yom kippur, to do tshuva on Yom Kippur itself. Shenema mikol chatoseichem b'fnei Hashem titor. He's understanding this as an actual command. You shall purify yourself from all of your sins on this day, on this day of Yom Kippur. Al ken yizironu akasu, shenitahe lifnei Hashem b'tshuvaseinu. Hashem, the pasuk is instructing us to purify ourselves before Hashem. And Hashem will be there for us to purify us if we do that. Meaning Hashem is offering us the opportunity. You come, make the approach to the tshuva, confess, acknowledge the areas where things were wrong, and I will be there ready to cleanse you, to be mechaper you. That's what the essence of Yom Kippur is. That's what Yom Kippur, even though superficially it seems like a scarier day than Rosh Hashanah, it really isn't if we understand the essence of what's going on. Rosh Hashanah, in its essence, is a scary day. Rosh Hashanah, in its essence, is a scary day. It's a Yom HaDin. The Midas HaDin is in effect on Rosh Hashanah. We're working hard to counter it with Rachamim through the means that Hashem provides us with. Yom Kippur, in its essence, is a day of complete Rachamim. It's a day of love. And on the contrary, our fasting, well, we fast because the Torah told us to fast, but the idea is our fasting and spending all day in shul and the confessing, etc., it's not because of the sadness of the day or anything like that, but on the contrary, it's because such a day is such a unique opportunity that we want to get the absolute maximum out of it. We want to get the absolute maximum out of it. Therefore, we apply ourselves to this day as intensely as we possibly can. Fasting, with all the tefillas, with all the vidui. Yes.
Louder.
So Shmuel is asking, why do we spend a lot of time in Yom Kippur with the added tefillas and the added piyutim? Why don't we dedicate the time to sitting down and thinking and reflecting, etc.? So answer that question from two angles. First of all, the truth is that by Yom Kippur, you should already have all those thoughts in place. As far as Simei Tshuva, we should be spending with those reflections. Yom Kippur, we're ready to just come and implement, to do the viduyim, etc. But I'll say another point. This is just from a more pragmatic angle. Yom Tov, Shabbos, all of these days are days where Hashem wants us to be internalizing different messages, etc. So, and the way it's set up is with Sudas, Tefillas, etc. Practically speaking, if we were to set up the structure such that now we have 3 hours to sit and reflect, you can imagine what it would look like in most shuls. The 3 would shrink to 2.5, which would shrink to 2, which would shrink to 1.5 hours, and everybody would get home and rest, read a little, right? I mean, catch up on Mishpacha magazine. I don't mean, right? And, you know, you would have some people who would utilize it right. We have to provide external structures for times that we want utilized well, even though theoretically, if a person were really to sit down by himself and engage in contemplation and reflection, he might be able to utilize the time better. But practically speaking, Hashem wants all of Klal Yisrael involved in this. And practically speaking, people often just don't know what to do with themselves if it's just really left up to them to sit down and reflect. So from a practical perspective, we say we want to make sure that the day of Yom Kippur is absolutely utilized. Better to have Jews in shul all day long, busy with the davening and the tefillas. But as we're saying now, you want to be conscientious and approach it right. So you have to really get busy these days now, the days of Elul before Rosh Hashanah, the days of the Aseret Yemei Tshuva, having it all in place, having it all down on paper. You move into Yom Kippur without really needing the time to actually sit down and reflect. Okay. I just read about the Damesek Eliezer, his Vizhnitz Rebbe, very warm, holy Jew. So a Talmud of his related at one time he found an apple in the street. He was walking, wherever it was in Europe. He found an apple in the street. So it was the middle of Elul. So he picked up the apple without thinking much. He picked up the apple, made a bracha, and started munching. So he's standing there in the street. Munching an apple. And exactly then, the Rebbe walked by. Now, it was a little embarrassing to be found in the street munching an apple. In general, it's actually not considered respectable to be eating in the street. And sensitivities might have dulled in our days when, on the street eateries are so common. So, yeah, what's wrong with standing and mamish having a proper meal while you're standing at a bus stop, a whole falafel. But you know what? In earlier times, it was considered so unrespectable. He said a person like that couldn't be trusted for Eidus. He's going to be a very cheap person. But whatever it is, we're setting that aside right now. Whatever it is, this person was busy munching an apple in the street. And the Mishnah Tzur Rebbe walked by, encountered him. So he was like a little embarrassed. He was thrown. So the Mishnah Tzur Rebbe put an arm on him and said to him very warmly, he said, very, very good. I see you understand a very important point. It's Elul now. In the time of Elul, there's a fundamental principle. A Jew's mouth should never be idle in Elul. You can't allow your mouth to be idle in Elul. We have to be busy with our mouth the whole time in Elul. So you're starting by munching an apple, right? You'll get from there to Tehillim, to talking to Hashem, to your learning, etc. But you're right, you're right. Keep your mouth busy the whole time in Elul. The mouth shouldn't be idle. Okay? This just reminds me of another once, not exactly the subject, but it reminds me when we're talking about sweet admonition in the context of a person who is seen eating in a little bit of an up-and-coming way. The Slonim Rebbe, the Simchas Shalom, the Slonim Rebbe, he one time saw, I don't know if it was one of his Talmidim, one of his grandchildren, who was eating with a little bit too much of a gishmak, which a little bit too much gusto. It was mamish digging into the food with b'chol nafshu, b'chol ma'idah, b'chol levavai. Right? And the son of a Rebbe wanted to tell him off, but he wanted to do it in a son of a Rebbe kind of way. So he also went over to this boy, you know, his grandchild, Tom, whatever it is, put his arm on him and he said, you look like my grandfather looked when he was eating matzah. Okay, another example of what we call sweet admonition. Okay, we move on. So whatever it is, we come back to the point. This is Rabbeinu Yonah's prompt number 5. The Aseret Yemei Tshuva are here as Hashem's call to us. Hashem says, Hashem's call to us to come closer to Him for tshuva, for improvement, etc. What's prompt number 6? Prompt number 6 is, what is the other signal calling you to do tshuva, to wake up, to make the changes necessary? Call AC kind of cross early call. Every day. Every day should be a call. Ki lo yeda ha'odam es itoy. The idea really is, what he's getting to now, is that death. Say it very straight. Death is a call. And here we have the classic Gemara that he's going to cite very soon. Right? The Rebbe Eliezer told this Talmidim, make sure to do tshuva the day before you die. His Talmidim said to him, how do we know when that is? He said, exactly, that's my point. Make sure you do tshuva on every day. It might be the day before you die, which means every day. So this is what Rabbeinu Yonah is telling us here. Every day, be ready to be presentable. Ki lo yeda adam es itay. Nobody knows when their time is. And by rendering yourself righteous, by always seeing what is it that I need to do to put myself in a better place, then it's taka yikainon lahashivuchay betaro elalukimashon nisano. What happens if you put in all that effort and then the next day you don't die? Is that a letdown? It's not a letdown. You're just profiting over the fact that your entire life is going to be lived on a pure level. That's really the idea. So it says in Halacha that every day before going to sleep, it should be part of the process of Kriya Shema Lamita, right? So that's the context of Mishnah Berurah brings it down. Every day before you go to sleep, sit down and take an accounting, review the day, see what are the things that you need to knock off, what are the things that need to be addressed and rectified throughout my day today. Shouldn't really wait until the Aseret Yemei Tshuva. Every day should be occasion for taking that stock and seeing what needs to be addressed. Every day, take an accounting of your activities. At regular intervals, you should be taking stock. It's actually Rabbeinu Yonah and his Yesod that Tshuva suggests really doing this before every meal. Before every meal, sit down. It's really not a big deal if you do it that way. Except the consistency. That's what I always find the challenge. It's hard to keep up just in terms of how to be consistent about anything. But he says, every meal, sit down. You only had all of a few hours since the last meal. Sit down and just quickly review what happened. If there's anything wrong, acknowledge it. Okay. Maybe make a verbal confession. Very simple. And okay, I'm going to be more conscious about this now. Said about the Beis HaLevi. They said that the Beis HaLevi, many times in the middle of a conversation, he would suddenly stop short, walk into the other room for a moment, and then come back and continue the conversation. I don't think he said this, but I think that those around him suggested, based on knowing him, that if he ever felt that he had said something wrong in the course of a conversation, he wanted to do tshuva immediately. He would step out, do tshuva, and then come in and continue the discussion. Okay, we'll stop here for tonight.
What's that? The best tshuva is he apologizes.
To I don't think he meant that he offended the person. Then yes, that would be the best way to do it. Right. Uchim to you.
I can't hold still. Only behind me.